Happy Sunday.
Happy Sunday, Dolly.
It's always on a Sunday.
With Den and Low.
Season 3.
Episode 2.
Ooh. You have a sexy voice when you talk like that.
Oh, well, let me try that again. See if it helps.
So we're someplace we've never been before.
Yeah, where would that be, Lois?
Well, I'll give you a clue. We're in Washtenaw County, and we're at a park. It's called the Stabler Farm Park.
And what is special about this park?
Well, this particular park houses the Michigan Folk School.
That sounds kind of cool. Are we going to see a bunch of folk in there?
Well, I'll tell you what we're seeing right now is a bunch of little bales of hay. Like the smallest little bales of hay that I've ever seen all over the place.
Well, I think it's kind of interesting that you think they're little bales of hay. They're probably about 50 or 60 pounds each. And that's the size of hay bales that my grandparents used to have on their farm in West Branch. And we're so used to seeing these monster rolls of hay, or the square bales that are, you need a forklift truck or a tractor to lift them. But these are just what used to be the common ones that my brothers would pick up and put on the wagon and then take the wagon up to the barn and use a conveyor to take them up to the top and pack them in.
Do you think this is one of the things that they teach at the folk school? Because they have over 300 classes that they teach here, and they're trying to teach the traditional arts or traditional tasks that might have been done on a farm.
Well, it could very well be. There's lots of lessons out there with each of those bales of hay. And the haying season at the beginning of summer was the one that I had problems with because of my hay fever. But later in the season, it was not at all a challenge, except the weight and the number of bales of hay. The fun part is a lot of people don't realize that when you cut the hay off of a field, you have to process it before you can begin to bale it. And so it, in the process of cutting, it starts to dry out. The farmer has to make sure that it gets raked into rows or winnows of hay. And then after it's had a chance to dry in the sun, then you go over it and pick it up and bale it. And in the really olden days, they just used to scoop it up with a fork and pile it on a wagon and keep making. You'll see in some old art that there are these huge mounds, and so when they picked it up with a fork and moved it, they would pile it and just put it all in one big heap of hay.
That'd be a haystack.
That would be a haystack, exactly.
Well, how do they keep the haystack from fermenting on the inside?
Well, they don't. Essentially, what they do in modern times is they will wrap a plastic wrapper around those big round bales. But the idea is once it's dried enough, you can take it and put it in a barn and keep it out of the weather, and it doesn't really ferment, but it has to be dried. That's why the letting it dry in the sun and then raking it into windows is important before they bale it. If somebody rushes it, if it's not dry enough, it will build up heat. And occasionally, the heat would build up to the point that it would spontaneously combust and burn down the barn.
Is that where they got the phrase, don't blow your stack?
I don't know. That's an interesting question.
From a fermented haystack?
I don't think so. But it could be.
Oh my gosh. I'm cracking myself up.
Well, you crack yourself up and me in the process. But it's entirely possible. We could look that up. Where did the expression come from?
You see those two guys that just showed up?
Yeah.
They're going down there to where the folk school is. So there must be some kind of a class or something going on today.
Yeah.
So I look at their listing of classes. I mean, they've got everything from archery to blacksmithing to bushcraft, whatever the heck bushcraft is. Not witchcraft, bushcraft.
When I hear bushcraft, I wonder if this is modern phrase for manscaping. Is that what it is?
I don't know.
It'd be hard because those scissors they used to have to trim the cow's tails.
Yeah.
Look pretty scary. I wouldn't want to get one around my bush.
Bushcraft. And then they also have broom stick making.
Yeah.
I mean,
that I could get into.
They've got glass work. They've got leather work. They've got, I mean, the number of classes, I couldn't read them all off. There's over 300 of them. There's just so many. So, I mean, but the one I'm going to find out about, I'm going to call them. If they're not open today, I'll call them tomorrow and find out about this bushcraft because I think that might be interesting. So far, that's the most intriguing to me.
Well, you know, you think about all the things that go on in a rural community, and the first thing that really came to my mind was really maybe it's like using willow branches or branches of other trees or shrubs. You see that bent wood that they make things out of? And I thought, well, maybe that's what that's
could be
about.
And then the other thing, they said is they have a class on homesteading. So if you're going to get a piece of land and you're going to start from scratch with your own homestead, now that would be kind of a cool class to take, wouldn't it?
Well, yeah, unless you grew up on a farm, you'd probably say, yeah, I've had enough of that.
Yeah, but we're talking about city kids. I mean, this is, you know, Washtenaw County's Ann Arbor, right? So, I mean, we're talking about kids that are now living in these urban areas, and they don't know all these different things. I mean, I grew up completely as an urbanite, and I am comfortable in that setting. You know, I like sidewalks and curbs and, you know, restaurants and, you know, all those kind of things. But then I also like this idea that you can do some of this stuff yourself. Until I see a bug and then I'm like, or a snake. And then I'm like, oh no, let's just go back to the city.
Well,
I'm kind of like Ava Gabor in Green Acres.
Green Acres is the place for me.
It's fun. The thought of it sounds really fun.
But it's work.
But it's, yeah, but it's not even the work. It's just the idea of all the things. It's like all the creepy, crawly things.
Well, my grandparents on both sides were very familiar with the farming life. And I was privileged to be able to help out on the farm and learn things. I remember skinning the bark off of fence posts, which was hard work because you had to sit on this rounded piece of cedar trunk, and I'm not talking about a trunk to put stuff in, but the trunk of a tree. So you had to straddle it, and then you had a draw shave, which coincidentally a couple of weeks ago I gave my dad's draw shave to my brother Dave. All the tools that used to be in Dad's workbench, that was probably the oldest one, and Dave remembered it and he said, yeah, I really would like that. So it's his now. But it's to watch them put the rings in the nose of the bulls, or to cut the horns off of the young calves that were growing horns, it's really kind of an interesting experience to grow up. I remember being carted up in the family car up to the corner of the property where there was a lot of brush, and my uncle jumped out to go retrieve a calf and take it down to the barn. And he said, now you keep an eye out and honk the horn if you see the mother coming for this vicinity where I'm going into the brush. I said, well, why? He said, because she won't like me touching her calf.
Oh, yeah, she'll be mad as hell.
So, sure enough, he grabbed the calf. The calf started making noise and
bleaking, like it'd go, bleak, bleak,
meh. And so, what should happen, but sure enough, the mother cow came up, I honked, and she came right up to the car. But fortunately, he was on the other side, and he got the calf in the back seat, and then he jumped in the front seat before the mother came around. And so that was quite the experience.
And he took the calf back to the barn because it knew it wouldn't walk on its own, or?
Well, because it was in an area where it might be vulnerable to coyotes.
Oh, I see. Okay.
And so, you know, it was something that they did, and it wasn't the first time that he did that.
And the calf probably just followed the mother out there.
Yeah. Well, the mother went out there to have her calf.
Oh, so the calf was born out there.
Yeah.
Oh, I get it. Okay. See how clueless I am? I'm so clueless, Tim, when it comes to all this stuff. Well, I mean, it is interesting.
Yeah, life out on the farm can be quite interesting, and I know you and I have talked about this before. When you see where meat comes from, or eggs come from, or your oats, it changes your perspective about the foods that we eat.
Well, it gives you a more better appreciation for it.
Yeah. And I can remember being out in
More
the
better.
grain bin. I can remember being out in the grain bin where there were old license plates attached because critters had gnawed holes in through the wooden sides of the building. But big, huge piles of just oats, plain oats. And my grandpa saying, if you're hungry, take a handful of those and chew on those for a while. And so I, of course, professed that I wasn't hungry, but sooner or later I had to try it, and it was actually tasted a lot like oatmeal for some reason.
That's so funny.
But of course, that was what they were feeding to the cattle, you know, as a supplement to the hay that they'd have in the field and the special dietary supplements that they would mix in with feed that they had mixed in town. It's just a whole different perspective on the foods that we eat, the life that we live.
Instead of all this processed stuff, everything in a box.
Yeah.
Makes me want to go home and clean out the pantry.
Yeah. Well, we've got a place we can donate it, so we should do that.
Yes, we went to Mass this morning, and when we went in to church, we saw the plate. Look, that, you know what? That Doberman right there that that guy's running
Yeah.
with it on his bike. The Doberman, I thought it was limping just now. And then he's riding with that thing on the asphalt on the road. I mean, what
Oh.
the heck? I mean, the asphalt's hotter than the air. It's like 73 degrees out. I don't know. I don't know what people are thinking when they do this kind of stuff.
Well, they're not thinking.
Not that the dog doesn't need exercise, but do you really need to have it with a bike? I get so pissed when I see people in our neighborhood riding their bikes and trailing their dogs along. I just, ugh, can't stand it. Anyways, I don't remember what I was going to say. Oh, I know, we're going to go home and get stuff out of our pantry. Oh, so we were at Mass this morning. When we went in the door of the church, we saw the place where they're getting together all the different pantry items for St. Aloysius and other parishes that have actual pantries where people come and get food for themselves. So yeah, we got some things we can donate for sure. Just need to just double check the due dates on everything. So,
Well,
but I
it
can tell
was.
you one thing, I'm not going to donate to the pantry.
Which is?
Those super sour jelly belly gummy bears or whatever. They're not even gummy bears. They're gummy jelly beans made by Jelly Belly, and they're super sour.
Oh?
And I'm obsessed with them right now. They're so good.
You mean not with the little baby gummy bears? Are
Oh,
they
I
called
love
bear
those
cubs?
baby. I love the baby. I do love those mini cubs. Yeah. That's Albanese brand from
Merrillville, Indiana.
Oh my God, those are the best gummy bears ever. Yeah, those are really good.
They
But
are pretty
these are
tasty.
Jelly Belly jelly bean brand, but they're made into gummies that look in the shape of a bean, but they're super sour. And I love that too. So, I'm not donating those to anybody. But I need to get my hands on some more of those little cubs from Albanese. Gummy cubs. They don't call them gummy bears because they're like little
They're
babies.
very tiny.
They're teeny weeny, like the size of your fingernail. I mean, they're so little and they're so cute.
Well, what amazed me about those was, first of all, the softness was uniform, and I know they might have just been super fresh, but also the uniformity of size, and they had 12 in the pack, and each one was a different flavor.
12 different flavors. That's what they come
Yeah,
out, yeah.
and to me, that's a degree of sorting and precision in their operations. I'm just fascinated by something that's so small, so precise, and so uniformly delicious.
They're so good. And then the other brand that I usually eat is the Haribo. They're made in Germany, but they're a little harder. They're
They're
core. They
quite
have a
hard.
soft outside, but then they got like a harder, for some reason, the texture's just got like a harder core. And I love them too, but they just don't have the same flavor profile that the Albanese ones
Yeah,
do.
those are quite tasty. And
So, if anybody likes gummy bears, you got to get the Albanese brand.
there is another feature of them that makes them especially appealing to me, and that is that the packages are so small to hold those so small candies that they're very few candies, and they are so flavorful. They're satisfying in small quantities.
So you like it because it's small.
Yeah.
I think it was only 45 calories for the little pack.
Yeah, it's a good, healthy snack.
I don't know if it's healthy because I ate so many of them.
Yeah,
that
well,
when I went to the bathroom, I'm going to tell you right now, I don't think they get digested because I think I literally pooped like gel. I think I pooped gel.
I would prefer not to ever have known that, but I eat them in, one or two little packages, and that's my limit.
Well, I ate a shareable pack of Haribo Bears at work the other day, and when I went to go poop after the next day.
No, I don't want to know.
I mean, it literally came out in gel.
I don't
It was like gel. Oh, Denbo. You don't want to know what my poop looks like?
Nope.
Sign of health, but yeah, whatever your poop looks like, it's the old way. Speaking of,
I'm just getting used to looking at my own. I don't want to look at anybody else's, much less step in it.
Oh my gosh, too funny.
Well,
oh, Denbo, you crack me up.
Well,
all right, well, we got to do something today, and I got something in mind. We're going to go down to Schmidt's, which is like our local farm market. We have a, we have the farmer's market where everybody comes into Plymouth on Saturdays, which I didn't go yesterday because I was too busy watching football, but and going to Olivia's soccer game. But I do want to stop by Schmidt's, which is like our hometown family that has a little farmer's market on Joy Road on the south side of Plymouth, and they've got mums, and so I want to get some of those and plant those real quick.
Well, I've got one other thing I'm going to beg you to take care of for me, and that is to make my hotel reservation for the week I'm in Austin.
Oh, for your conference.
Yeah.
I can do that. We still need to look online and see what's the absolute closest to the door of the entry of the place.
Well, closest is not as important, is not as far away as the one I was registered at or had a reservation at, but I would like to have a nice quality place that has a little room, and it's not, you know, there are certain brands that I just think are kind of cheap, and the others are, who knows what the quality level is, but I know you'll be particular enough to get me into a good place.
Well, I want to make sure it's someplace that you can walk to this conference.
Yes, close enough
walk
that
and
I
be
can
safe
walk.
And if it's not a safe neighborhood, then you're going to have to get an Uber or something. Uber.
Well, I might get lazy and get an Uber anyways, but.
Well, yeah, but sometimes they don't want to go a half a mile, so. I mean, if it's a half a mile, you can probably walk it. Or then maybe stay someplace further out so that making an Uber makes sense.
Or get a shuttle, if they have a shuttle to the place. Because it is a huge conference center. The auditorium where I'll be at is 1,800 seats.
Oh, that sounds nice.
Yeah, well, it's...
I wish I could go, but I've got my own conference that I have to go to here in Dearborn, so we're both going to be... I'm going to be at a three-day conference, you're going to be at a three-day conference. But we're going to be in different states.
Yeah.
Be interesting.
Well, so it's always fun to be at a conference and do something different with a different group of people, but... The thing that is really unique about this is I will be the keynote speaker. It's the first time I've been the keynote speaker.
Oh, I'm excited. Ooh, my husband's the keynote. Ooh, I'm getting turned on, Denbo. You're so cute.
Well, it's
you
all
know every girl at the place is going to be thinking about you when you're up there talking. They're going to be like, I wonder what he's like. That's how women are.
Well.
Women look at every man and go, yeah, no. And I think guys do that, too, about women.
I think you're probably correct.
And I think maybe just people just do that about other people. Like how, you know, because they can't help themselves. That's why the Bible says you shouldn't lust after people.
Yes.
Because
yeah.
that heads you down the wrong path. But I don't think people can help themselves. I mean, they try to, but they're human, for crying out loud.
Well,
they're not dead, as some famous actress said.
Yeah.
Recently. She's like, you know, I'm not dead.
Yeah. Speaking of... famous actresses, I have to reflect on one of our favorite guilty pleasures is watching Only Murders in the Building.
I'm not guilty about that.
Well, maybe we should be, and
I
we
think
aren't.
You're being cliche, but yeah, I'm not. I don't believe that that's a guilty thing.
Well, I've always...
I think Steve Martin and Martin Short made that for us to enjoy, so that's why I'm indulging in it.
Well, and Selena Gomez is just...
The thing that's good about it
amazing.
Is that there's no weird sex scenes or anything crazy like that. You know what I mean? It's like, it's definitely a murder mystery, but it's done in a tasteful way. And there's a lot of plot twists and all of that. So that's what I like about it. It keeps you thinking.
Well, the
intelligent
thing that I've grown to appreciate is not only Martin Short, Steve Martin, and Selena. They're really a great trio of actors acting, you know, with and against each other in their characters. But the guest characters that come in and out of each of the seasons are really kind of remarkable. And the Meryl Streep character, and I've heard that she's the queen, or maybe even the king of accents, very good at mastering accents. And she's doing this character, and in the process, Steve Martin's character is kind of interested in her. But the one, let me finish. Steve Martin's character is kind of interested in her, but not for the same reason as Martin Short's character. Martin Short goes over to her apartment for dinner.
Well, he's romantically interested.
Oh, he's definitely.
Martin Short's character is romantically interested.
But before he gets to the romance, they're just having dinner together at her apartment, and she's in character making this reference to pigs, and I think it was a previous role that she did that had something to do with pigs, and she makes a pig snort that is like totally hilarious for this very accomplished actress to be making pig snorts on a TV special. It just, it's priceless, really.
I think this is the last season. I think they're only doing these three seasons, so this
I think
will be
you're
it.
Right. Yeah, I think they've only got like three more episodes.
Oh. But well, they'll come up with something else after that, because they're super creative people.
Well, I read somewhere that Steve Martin says he's completely retired after this season. Not doing anything.
No more acting at all?
None.
Because he does the banjo playing and goes around banjo playing.
Well, I know that he and Martin Short have developed quite the friendship over the years, and so Steve Martin, Martin Short, how can you go wrong? They're both really funny, and they're even funnier together.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm sure if Steve Martin really, quote-unquote, retires, that Martin Short will drag him into something.
Probably. And, well, darling, what do you think?
Well, it's a gorgeous day, and we're looking at this beautiful stand of trees. There's a really well-kept series of barns on the other side of the road, some gates, some fences, and then there's, what is that road anyways? Is it Ann Arbor Road?
Mm-hmm.
Ann Arbor Road, and a patch of goldenrod and all kinds of prairie between us, and over to one side we've got all these bales of hay and the green grass. It's just a gorgeous, gorgeous day.
September's a beautiful, beautiful month.
Oh my goodness, yes.
We don't have the humidity, but we've got these beautiful, sunny, I mean, not a cloud in the sky, just absolutely beautiful blue sky. And it's warm in the sun and it's cool in the shade. It is just, there's nothing like September in Michigan. It is just so beautiful.
Yeah, I think it's my favorite month. For all those reasons. And, of course, it's the month that my darling Lois and I were united in marriage.
Oh, that's right. We were married in the summer, actually, September 5th.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. It was still summer. But I remember that day was about 73 degrees, and it was cool nights, too. So, yeah. I just love September.
Yeah.
Well, that's a wonderful reason for us to like September, because we were married in September.
That's right.
Aw, Denbo, you're so romantical. I don't
Well,
know if that's a
I get
word,
it
but
from you.
no, you don't. I'm not romantic like you are.
Oh, I know that.
I like to be romance, but I'm not a rom I don't think that I'm a hopeless romantic or any type of romantic type. I think you truly are, and I think you know why? I think you are because I think you grew up on that music of the 1950s and 60s where all those songs were about unrequited love and romance and or being in love or something like that. I think all that music has such a huge influence on you, and I think that's what's made you a romantic.
Well, it could be. It was certainly the music of my parents was romantic.
From the 1940s and 50s.
Yeah, and my first recollection of a song other than a church song or a gospel song or what's the Mexican-themed music? Not mariachi, but
The Mexican polka music.
Mexican polka music and then German polka music. But aside from those that we heard on the radio, it was a song by Tommy Edwards that was from 1956. And my dad liked to have the radio on when he was cruising down the roads. And this one particular time when we lived in East Taos, my dad took me and my little plastic toy sailboat out to the Point Park. And I remember driving out there and the road, which I've been down many times since I was 4 years old, but this song on the radio was, I'm going to sit right down and write myself a letter and make believe.
And make believe. And was it a romantic song?
And make believe that it came from you.
Oh, I see.
And what I didn't
Now,
know.
today we would say that that person had some type of a psychological issue.
Well,
That they were somehow, not right.
you gotta think about
Things
that
have changed.
for most musical tunes that have lyrics is, yeah, that person's
People
sick.
are suffering, or they're suffering,
They're
you know. I
suffering,
don't like
or they're
that.
hopelessly
Suffering.
infatuated or obsessed with somebody else.
Yeah, that they can't have. In some cases, it's people that are not accessible to them
Or that they
or
had
available.
and they lost.
Yeah.
Those are the really sad ones.
Or the ones where the person just decided it wasn't working out for them. Oh my God, there's our text. We always get a text, honey.
Yeah,
It's the strangest thing.
it is.
That was a text from somebody I don't want.
Oh, well.
That was a text from, it says, Happy Football Sunday. Copping some jewelry today. So it's like a stupid jewelry text. Like,
I
from
hate
where?
that.
It's like weird, like random. Somebody's got my phone number and they're texting me. Anyways, well, okay, honey. Well, all right, let's get on. I want to go to the Schmidt's.
Yes,
So I'm
get
going
some
to hang up
mums.
the phone and then we're going to do a little bit of yard work. Yay, the perfect Sunday.
Perfect for who?
For us.
If I have to dig, it's not quite perfect,
You don't have
but
to dig anything. I'm going to dig
I
the.
dig you.
Okay, you can dig me and I'm going to dig up the dirt to put the mums in.
Okay.
All right, lover. I love you.
I love you.